we're back.
Welcome back, fellas.
What's going on?
Busy weekend.
Busy.
Yeah. I still got a splinter in my hand I can't get out. Fiberglass splinter. I dug on it.
Those never come out.
Yeah, they'll come out.
Everybody tells me you just take a hot shower and they just fall right out and it's fine. Everything's good.
Weekend project went pretty awesome. Pretty good. Can't share pictures of it. We can talk about it. Painted the first monster truck. Fro showed up, helped me tape off. A good buddy of ours, Brady, came and did some airbrushing and taping. Worked out pretty good. It was an all-day event. There's a lot of square inches on a monster truck body, if you guys didn't know that.
So I felt like we've grown as people because not one of us threatened each other anywhere in the middle of that. Like, I really expected at some point all of us to get mad.
Fro did get a new nickname. Remind me after the show to tell you what that is, John. I can't say it on here.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yes.
He knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, keep that between us.
Notice he's not happy about it, but whatever.
You usually get a little bit invested in the paint jobs you do if they're good ones. Like you paint a car and you're like, hey, I did that. You want somebody to take care of it, right? And like you see them rolling down the road and you're like, that still looks nice.
Yeah.
You just painted a monster truck body.
Yeah, I know. And our buddy
there's a chance that step one is to put the monster truck body on the monster truck. And step two is to roll it.
Yeah, that's a pretty safe bet that's going to happen. That's why Fro was like, hey, we need to figure out when they're going to unveil the truck and we need to try to be there. And I'm like, I don't want to be there because if they roll it, it's going to hurt my heart from knowing how much time and effort.
Yeah.
But it is. You know, Devin's letting me do this at his shop and everything. And Devin came home. He did monster trucking last weekend and came home and helped me take down the paint booth and stuff. And I said, man, check it out. So what do you think? And he just looked at me and grinned and he shook his head. And I'm like, what? He's like, you put too much effort into this, man.
Yeah.
I can't help it. The guy who builds the bodies from Brothers Racing, he showed up and looked at it. And I'd seen his truck there today. And I talked to Devin today. And I said, what'd he have to say about it? Did he like it? And he's like, man, he looked at it and shook his head and said he put too much work into it. I was like, I said, I don't know how to do it any other way. Like how I did it was bare bones. I can't do it any, I guess, worse. You know what I mean? Like that's the sloppiest I could do it, I guess, is the easiest way to say it.
I was going to say, in your defense, we probably would have went back and forth for about 4 to 5 hours about where to tape it and how to lay out the tape and how to get everything just right.
I don't know. If we had a rendering to go off of like we did, that's why I wanted one of us, not me, because I hate taping off the graphics or whatever. That's why I wanted it, or you or Brady, and Brady did it. I said, I want one of you, somebody to do it all. Just you do the whole thing, you know, that way all the taping's exactly the same. And then Fro and I went back and did the back masking or whatever. But yeah, it's fine, whatever. But it was a long weekend, and it's not over. I still got another body to do next weekend. But anyway, with all that being said, do you guys have anything notable this weekend? John, do you have anything cool?
No, not really. No. Dropped third member off to get rebuilt, and that's about it. Painted my brake calipers.
So you took it to where?
PIM Racing, Performance Engineering Machining.
Yeah. And they had we talked about this earlier. They got a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah.
Well, they charge like $90 to set up gears for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But turns out.
Yeah. No, I had bought the set of gears and I didn't know what it cost to set them up. So I just went down there and picked them up and put them in myself. And there may not be anything wrong with them, but I felt like there was a noise. I felt like they were a little loud, which maybe. Fine. I don't know. And I called him last time I was down there buying some stuff, like, hey, this is what's going on with my rear end. You guys go through it and check it out and make sure everything's cool so I don't blow this thing up and cause other damage. Yeah, $90, whatever. So I pulled it out and took it down there and I'm like, oh, yeah, We meant like if you buy a set of gears, it's $90. So hindsight, if you're buying a set of gears, also ask how much to just go ahead and set them deals up. Yeah. I mean, $200 or whatever a set of gears costs, whatever, an extra $90 to make it right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, well, that's cheap insurance.
I told you, that's a smoking deal.
Huh?
That's a smoking deal. There's a couple of guys in our little area here, small townville, that are pretty good at setting up gears. They charge like $400 to $600 if you take them all the stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So it's something like $90 by a well-known company like them that's going to do it 100% correct. Man, that's a smoking deal.
Yeah. But no, what am I going to be $300 into this for a whole lot of peace of mind?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And really, honestly, unless there's some kind of weird manufacturing flaw, you should be good to go, man. You shouldn't have anything to worry about. Yeah, I think you're solid. So
should be.
Anyway, so about a week and a half ago, a buddy of ours, Parts Guy Dave is what we call him. There's a story behind that. The guy can find any part for any kind of four-wheeler, dirt bike, motorcycle. It's crazy. He sends me videos and memes often, and I'm glad he does because they're normally pretty good. But he sent me a video of a car, and he says, it's pretty cool, but I don't know about $2.3 million cool. So it was just a short little video, and I'll let Fro, because he'll remember, I know it's two cars put together, it's a Cadillac and something else, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, this car, it's an amazing car, but $2.3 million, what they said it cost to build it, over 4,000 man-hours, and a $300,000 paint job, right? So it was one of those things. I was like, man, I sent it to these guys, and I said, let's talk about this. Because it's kind of a crazy deal, you know?
So just to kind of get it started on this, I stole every bit of this information from Barrett Jackson. Barrett Jackson had this car up for auction. So every piece of information coming from this came from their website. So the description, basically what they do is they go into how this car came to be. So the 59 Cadillac Eldorado Broham, or Broham, whichever way you pronounce it.
Definitely Broham.
It's a Broham.
It was a Pininfarina body. So it was an Italian-bodied car. It was a basically like a coach-built car. There were only about 200 or 300 that came out that year. And that's kind of where this started. And they decided to build a Nomad, a car that never existed. So a Cadillac Nomad. Now, as you go down through some of the information that's here on the screen, and actually it says there on the screen, it's one of 99 built in 1959. There are a lot of people. Pardon me for just one second here. There are a lot of people who will argue in the Cadillac circles over whether or not this Cadillac really ever existed. But that's where the story starts. And they decided to build a Nomad. So there are a lot of details about this car, and we'll kind of get into them as we go. But this is the finished product. Now, the reason this car... Exactly. The reason this car gets as much attention as it does is because they've referred to it as a $2.3 million build. Now, there are people who will argue, and we'll get into it tonight, about this car and whether or not it is actually worth the $2.3 million.
That's the thing. It's worth whatever someone will pay for it or pay to have it built. You know what I mean? So,
And I'll agree with you. And of course, I'll run through. This is, of course, the back end. Fit and finish looks really, really good, and it better for this price. Interior, it is a two-seater. A lot of leather, a lot of wood, a lot of fiberglass. Very well put together car. Front view, of course, you get the cool wheels on the front. I say cool wheels on the front. It's cool wheels all the way around. Back view, you've got the Nomad roof grafted onto the 59 Cadillac. They found a way to make it all work together. Then you start getting into some of the finer details. This is immaculate. I mean, it's beautiful. It's obviously never been driven down the road. And if it has been driven down the road, it ain't been far.
I think that's what I don't like about cars like these. I think they build these amazing machines that make all the power in the world, over 1,000 horsepower on 7 pounds of boost from a twin turbo big block and blah, blah, blah. But hold on. I say that. Do you know what transmission's behind the 632 with twin turbo with making 1,000 horsepower?
4L60 out of a Corvette.
Well,
it's actually right there in the picture. It's the transaxle from a Corvette. Complete.
It was never meant to be a driver just because of that.
Yeah. I figured we'd get into that. It is a full tube chassis, Nelson Racing Engines motor.
It's amazing.
As Bo said, over 1,000 horse, 7 pounds boost, mirror image turbos. Full on side shot of the car.
That's the other thing. They talk about a $300,000 paint job. They need to be like, let's call it what it really is. That's all the metal work too. That's the chop and channel and section. And I mean, that's not just you drop a car off and someone puts paint on it. You know what I mean? That's not what I just did to the monster truck body. That's a paint job. This is a full, I mean, it's, you know, and I'm not trying to justify $300,000 for that, but a lot of extensive metalwork in this deal.
John, what's your opinion on this? Where are you standing on all this?
I would have took the $2.3 million and bought every third gen on Facebook Marketplace. I bet I could have found at least 400 third gen Camaros for that money.
I think you're drastically underestimating what $2.3 million is.
I think he's pretty accurate on the F-body situation.
Yeah, got him. Got all the $1 million.
No, yeah. I mean, the car's it's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, but like I'm a horse of a different color, I guess, when it comes to the car show stuff, because I try to, like, I'm all over the driver quality stuff, and this is like, it's amazing, but it's amazing car built to not be a car.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what kind of hurts my heart on this whole thing, is that it's never going to be driven. It's never, you know, it's not going to be enjoyed. Yeah. That brings me, like, why do the Nelson 632 twin turbo tube chassis? I can understand building a chassis for this car. That makes sense. But why do all the high stuff whenever, I mean, just for show, right? I mean, that's it. That's the name of the game.
Yeah.
I get it, but
you just wasted a 632.
Yeah.
Even the tires aren't going to handle that 632.
Well, I mean, it's going to stop at the transmission. You know, yeah, what I mean?
They are with that transmission.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a great car. I mean,
yeah,
to each their own.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm glad someone built it. It's awesome to look at.
My argument on this,
I like it better like this.
Yeah, that looks awesome. I put my wagon body on that.
Yeah. Maybe a turbo
$100 paint job.
Maybe a bigger rear tire.
Yeah, you got all that room.
Probably do a bigger tire.
Throw a 9-inch back there.
I would just take the 8.8 out of this turd and put it in there. It'd hold up better than that. What it would.
So
I bet it rides like a dream, and the 632 is pointless. Maybe it's the most tame 632 you ever saw, but I don't know, 1,000 horsepower, 7 pounds of boost. Can't be that tame. I don't know.
All right, Fro, between you coughing and me and John interrupting you, you're never going to get it out. Go, hurry.
No, you're good. You're good. The good thing about the Nelson Racing Engines, they have a penchant for building things that they have a tendency to overbuild. So they... Yeah. Even the car that they built for themselves came out to be it's got a knob on the dash so that you can tune it to 600 horsepower, 900 horsepower, 1200 horsepower.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Overbuild it. That's awesome.
My only argument for this car, that there are Lamborghinis out there, there are Ferraris out there, there are exotic cars out there that people are paying this money for anyway. I'd rather see this thing go down the street than one of those cars. I'm just not impressed by those cars. It's just not my style.
Agreed, now, but you're going to see more of those cars driving on the road than this.
You're going to see more people willing to pay that money for one of those cars than this. It's the market.
And
supply and demand. There's probably very little demand for a Cadillac Nomad that you literally can't drive down the street.
Or won't.
Yeah.
And I'll agree with you. I'll agree with you. Now, that being said, I'm with both of you guys on I'd rather see this thing go down the street.
Yeah.
Than to sit in some showroom somewhere. But this car was also built with the intention of winning the Riddler Award. Now, for anybody out there who doesn't know what the Riddler Award, it is basically like the highest honor you can get in the show car world. And people build specifically for that. They build these cars. This is one of those situations where they pay attention to how all of the flats are laid out on the bolts. They hide as many of the bolts as they can. They cover up as much of the stuff that no one wants to see as they possibly can. Now, does that make it better? No, but the car was built for a purpose and it did what it was supposed to do.
Killer.
It won the Riddler Award.
Now put a transmission in and go drive that BEB. I almost said a bad word. Go drive that baby. I about did it.
I wouldn't own a car I couldn't drive. So I'm with you.
Like I said, super fun to look at. Amazing work, quality, craftsmanship, all that good stuff. I mean, but once you look at it, you look at it. I want to see it ripping around.
I agree.
I want to see him put a drag radial on it and see how fast it'll go. Or land speed that turd. Do something.
Do something. But no, it's we talked about this when we talked about Cadzilla. One of the things that impressed me about that car was they took it on a 2,000-mile road trip.
Yeah, that's awesome.
If you want to impress me, put this thing on the road. Drive it. Do power tour in it. Drive it from Cadzilla. They drove it from L.A. to Ohio, if I remember correctly, going to Power Fest. And you know, I was truly impressed by that. That car's a driver. They take it to Goodwood all the time, and they drive it. I want to see this car out on the road. Then I'll be impressed.
Yeah.
That's how I feel on it.
That's how I feel about that.
I'd take my car to Mako before I'd spend $300,000 on a paint job.
You know, it's kind of a jab. I feel like I'm a little bit better than Mako.
What?
Bring it my way.
Yeah. No, I'm just, that's like the cheapest place in the world to get a paint job, right?
Yeah. It's supposed to be.
Allegedly.
Are there still Makos around? Is that still a thing?
Oh, yeah.
There's no way you can get a $300 paint job anymore, though.
No, it's like seven.
Oh, man. That's
there's one. Cheapest, there's one like across from the Arby's I used to go to on Lindbergh.
Really? I didn't know they were still around.
Well, yeah. No, I'm not going to do this for you.
With the paint and body work that went on the frame, with the metal work and the paint work that went on the body, with all the fiberglass work that's inside, you don't think there's $300,000 worth of work there after the weekend you've had?
I mean, I think you can charge whatever you want for labor.
Yeah.
I mean, would you rather pay me to do your chop channel, or someone who knows what they've been doing it for a long time is going to charge you 10 times? I'd rather pay the guy the more money. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying it's not worth it. I'm just saying it's a, and who knows that dash is fiberglass. How do you know it's not metal? Does it say it in the description?
And the dash may be fiberglass. The whole thing may be fiberglass. The whole thing may be metal.
Yeah.
But when I look at the interior, to me, I see what looks like fiberglass work. It's possible it's metal work. I may be completely wrong. I may be completely out of line.
I mean, I don't know. Could be.
Or somebody fab those out of metal.
And that's possible. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's out there that I wouldn't expect to be made out of metal that's made out of metal.
The interior is really cool.
What year was this car made?
Let me go back.
What year did they do the $2.3 million BS?
Good.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, didn't it win the Riddler in 2019?
Okay, so Riddler
Award. Yeah.
Riddler in 2019. I wonder, like, if you look at 10 years of Riddler cars, what they
cost to build?
Yeah. Are they all in the $2.3 million range and we're just retarded? Or
like, I don't think you can say that word.
Dollar?
I don't
even know. I don't know how to, like, if we had to go price some mansions, like, I've never shopped for that. I don't have a clue what those cost. Yeah,
exactly.
This is out of my wheelhouse for sure.
Yeah. But, bro, you said it earlier.
Really cool.
Yeah, the fit and finish is amazing. The way the bumpers fit the body and the tail, I mean, all that's perfect.
The lines are money. Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah. That door might be sagging a little.
But no, it's there are people spending more money for stupider stuff than this.
Well, for sure.
I feel like after reading the article, after reading the description, this was this guy's dream and he didn't get to live to see it. He passed away in 2018. It won the Riddler in 2019.
I wonder if the value of that car goes up or down.
Depends on whether or not they drive it, I guess.
Is that like truly the value of the car, or is that just what they spent to build it? Because I can tell you,
the value of
my Nova and what I've spent to build it are two totally different numbers.
I'd be willing to bet that that's what they paid to build it.
Yeah.
I mean, depends on who you're talking to. I've only got like 2,300 in the wagon total.
Yeah. As long as we're talking to your wife.
Yeah. And she knows better. She no dummy. She's going to look at me and go, how come your car isn't as nice as a Cad Mad?
Well, yeah. Where's the other 2.275 million?
Right. But I put a new rear end cover on the 8.8, babe. It's perfect. Yeah.
It's got a better transmission, that's for sure.
That's right, for sure. I'm so stoked. I cannot wait. Like I said, after next weekend, I'm going to get that other body painted. Then I'm out the monster truck body business for at least a couple weeks. And it is 100% all hands on deck. Well, by that, I mean these right here. All hands on deck to get the wagon going. And it's close, man. I just got to address the starter situation. And then I'm on the road. Then we're making nitrous hits.
I think the starter just needs a little.
I think so, too.
Just loosen her up. Yeah. Jiggle it. Tighten it back down. Money.
It'll be money.
Have you tried hitting it with the biggest wrench you have?
Not yet. I haven't had time.
Did you turn the power off and then back on again?
You know I did. I'm a tech. You know what I do for a living. It's the first thing I do, did you reboot it? You got to give it a reboot. First step in the troubleshooting process.
All right. So that kind of wraps up the whole CADMAD thing. I still think the car's worth it as long as it did what you wanted it to do and it did what they wanted it to do.
Yeah, I'm not saying the car is not worth the money. I just think it's an outrageous amount of money. Right. But like John said, something I didn't think about is what are the last 10 years Riddler Award winners? What those cost to build?
You know, I can probably put something together before the next show.
Yeah. There you have homework. Good job.
Yay me.
Because you're gonna have to pay the best fabricators and car builders to build one of those cars. Because if you gave us a car to try to take to go race for the Riddler Award. It's not going to look like that.
No.
No. Even if we had the money to spend, it's not going to look like that, I don't think.
Right.
I don't know. We'd end up with a 91 S10 with a LS and twins and
I would have look. I would have quantity, not quality.
Right. I'm sorry. We'd have 17 small or LS S10s.
Right. And,
right.
Together.
You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd have 20,000 horsepower in my 17 S10s.
Speaking of updates from the last show.
Yeah, we seen that one.
You guys wanted to know how the chop came out.
Yeah, let's see it.
That's
a healthy car. Chop.
It's a whole lot nicer car. They might have sold more cars if they'd have done that from the factory.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to have to get a smaller steering wheel.
No way. I put a ball on it so your hand hits the roof every time.
Yeah. Scraping your knuckles on the visor.
You're already going to have to cut a hole in the roof for the shifter anyway, so might as well. Hey,
is that a driver already? Is that a running driver?
No, it is not.
Ah, cool.
No, it's been parked for a while. I talked to the owner of this car. He is he has everything at the house to do a full chassis swap on it so that he can drop it on a running and driving chassis.
All right, new rule right now. I'm throwing it out. You're not allowed to post any cars. It's not a driving car of the next two shows. We want drivers.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Went driving. Fair enough. The CADMAT thing was my idea to talk about, but really not my idea. It was Dave's idea. He sent it to me. He sparked it. So
hey, I'm absolutely fine with it. And this car will be a driver sooner than later.
Good.
He does plan to drive it to Salina, Kansas for the Lead Sled Spectacular in July.
Well, I might just drive right over to where it's gonna be and check and make sure he gets it done.
That's probably not a bad idea.
Do what?
It sounds spectacular.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good idea.
It's the same place we all used to ride our bikes to and get adult beverages. Hang out.
Yep. We can say it. He loves it when we plug his shop. It's Red Ball Bar and Grill.
Oh.
Back in Springs, Kansas.
Red Ball Bar and Grill, when you can get chili on everything.
Everything. They do have really good greasy burgers, though, like the best.
You can get it covered in chili, too.
If you'd like.
You can get anything
like covered in chili. Off.
All right. So I have another topic I want to discuss.
And I'm very surprised on this.
Why?
Oh, I'm kind of proud of you. You're stepping out of your comfort zone to talk about something you don't really care about.
Oh.
I don't think it's something I don't really care about.
You don't care about it.
I think there's a direction to go with this.
Okay.
I do hope that you think that what I'm talking about is the Street Outlaws No Prep Kings thing.
Right. Yes.
That is the direction I'm going with this. Ryan, huh?
What?
Ryan Martin has a new car.
No, he does not. We talked about this. It's the same car, new combo. It's Fireball, the red car.
Okay. Fireball Camaro, red car. There's a red car, there's a gray car.
Yep.
So the red car, do you know more about this car than I do?
The red car, they went to a Proline MH7, which is what the gray car is too. But on this car, they went with a screw blower. And I think the only other really changes they made on the red cars, they redid the rear suspension. I think some of the that stuff. I mean, I don't know specifically, but they made some changes to be more competitive with that car. Cause that car was, I mean, they won a season of NPK with that car, but then mainly put it on the street and it, you know, kicked the crap out of everybody on the street for however long. And then they had some issues with the gray car, brought the red one back. But now to test all the rules there, you know, everybody thinks, oh, they're giving, you know, lesser rules to the screw blower guys, and they are getting faster. And, you know, everybody that does MBK, every one of them said, if you don't 60 foot with a blower core, you're not going to catch them. There's all there is to it. You're not going to turbo spank one of those blower cars. So Ryan Martin took it upon himself to build. So his gray car, he still has, and it's still a Pro Charger setup. But he built this other car with a screw blower to test these rules to see if it really is an unfair advantage. So basically what that means, he's going to come out and spank everybody with a screw blower now.
So the post that I saw today that triggered me to want to talk about this, somebody pointed out all of the different modifications that were made to the body. They pointed out all of the different modifications. The nose is sloped down. The nose piece doesn't match a factory nose piece. And basically, the guy just broke down every little aero change that was made on the car. And Ryan Martin reposted it and said, congratulations on the most uneducated Facebook post of the day. And I had to read through the comments before I realized why. Do you know why, Bo?
I know why. Because Ryan Martin is on the rules committee. He knows the rules. He helps make them.
It was hilarious reading some of the comments about this guy. Just because he came out and thought he was going to call somebody out for breaking the rules. I didn't know that Ryan Martin is one of the guys who writes the rules. I didn't know that Ryan Martin is on that committee.
Yeah.
It's always better to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're stupid than open your mouth and prove them right.
Yep.
That guy proved him right.
Yep. I can't read comments from fans, because there are still people right now that will post on any of the Street Outlaw guys' pages and be like, street cars, them ain't real street cars. They're street raced cars. They're drag cars. They race on the street, guys. I mean, people are still complaining about that nonsense because season one said our street cars. You know what I mean? That's if you're around drag racing or been involved in it, you know that's a bunch of crap. Those aren't cars you take to Sonic and go drive around and have fun with and goof off. They're race cars.
Like, those are the people that are stuck in season one.
Well, exactly. And there's like literally there's people to this day that will still post that bull crap.
Because season one cars were cars that could drive to the spot.
Some of them, yeah.
Several of them were. I mean.
But that changed very quick.
That changed very quickly. Inject dollars to hot rod guys, and what are we going to do with them? We're going to make them cars fast enough, and we're going to make them stupid enough that you're not going to drive them on the street at all.
They're not going to spend $300,000 on a paint job, though.
No. might not spend more than, I mean, how many cans do you have? What color do you have the most cans of at Walmart? That's the color I'm going to
paint. Get the turbo cans, man. Those big, huge turbo cans. Those things are the stuff. I've never used one, but I might not want to.
See, now you say all of that, and you go back and you watch season one of Street Outlaws.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward, I don't know, six seasons.
Yeah.
You get to season six, and that flat black Le Mans in GTO trim all of a sudden becomes a fiberglass Pro Mod. Like, it's not like those guys didn't throw money at their problems.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
So back to the MPK thing. I think it's weird that they even have a rules committee on what combinations get what weight breaks, and you know what I'm saying?
NPK is nothing more than, at this point, NPK is nothing more than just another race circuit.
No, it is.
There are professional drag racers, and they are making choice whether to run in NPK or NHRA or what. And turns out you can make a bunch of money being successful at NPK because they focus on a fan base that is ready to spend money.
Right. So I know they make the rules to try to keep the combos closer together. right? Okay, with that being said, whatever happened to the old run what you brung thing? Like, make it work. If you can't beat them, join them. And if everybody's running a blower car, I get that gets kind of boring, I guess. Then it kind of gets into more, maybe I just shoved my foot in my mouth. that probably just happened right here. Live. Yeah.
Man, I love that.
I just talked myself out of my point that I was trying to make, didn't I?
I don't know. This is a really hard topic to talk about without talking yourself into a circle.
Well, man, yeah, it's
but at the end of the day, and I think that's why they started doing like the locals only or the small tire thing or whatever at the NPK races, because you go far enough, you lose your relevancy, you got to start over.
Yeah.
You go far enough, you lose your relevancy, you start over.
Yeah.
And that's why I think the NPK deal is a really cool race to go to, but at some point we lost our relevancy. Now we're at a race that takes all damn day to get off because they got to film a TV show around it.
Yeah.
And they can't have stuff happen. So it takes all day to get off. You see less racing for more money. It's really cool. They make a really cool TV show about it.
They did it the right way. A bunch of these drivers gained a ton of popularity on Street Outlaws, and they're racing. So people are going to continue to come because they're fans now and they're invested. They're going to show up and buy the shirts. And, I mean, I watch every second of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Last year, I really wanted to go to the race in Tulsa. I didn't get to go. I hope they have it again this year because I'm going to try to take the family and go watch it. You know what I mean?
I buy the shirts. I do the.
Yeah, I do too.
They come to town, I'm going to be there. But it is just another race circuit, another sanctioning body.
They are going to start doing a small tire deal.
Oh, yeah.
So a bunch of those guys got their small tire rigs all lined out or trying to get them lined out right now.
Yeah.
I even seen Roll Mons is finally going to get to come do some racing this season. Guess he got him some sponsors.
Yeah.
And that sweet Chevelle he's got. Things bad news.
Yeah.
Say what you want about Monza. He's always got some of these sweetest looking cars, some of the nicest.
So do you think that No Prep Kings has caused Street Outlaws to lose relevancy?
I think they just kind of, I don't know. I don't know about losing relevancy. I think if they went back to the original people from the first few seasons and just redid it, I think they would get a huge following again. They're not doing that anymore. They're doing the mega race, and they're, what's the other one they're doing? They're doing all that other stuff. Fast in America. Yes. All those shows still get crazy ratings. They're going to get watched. Whatever they do, they're getting watched.
No doubt.
I mean,
I probably watch less of the NPK than I do the other shows at this point.
Yeah. I watch every bit of it, man. I'm a dork.
Yeah.
So
eventually it starts feeling a lot like NHRA, and not knocking NHRA either.
They keep just enough drama in there.
They keep just a tickle of drama so that we all want to keep watching. But
plus, it helps because we've all developed this relationship over the last 7 years with these drivers that were on the streets.
The reason
everybody feels like they know these guys. Do what?
That's the reason we're watching.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I watch 187 on YouTube every time he posts, right? And I've said this a thousand times. Sean is one of us, man. He could show up in any of our garages right now, and he could sit and he'd fit right in. I mean, we're all the same way.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Now I don't watch Street Outlaws at all. I probably haven't watched Street Outlaws in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. It makes sense for you.
I enjoyed the first couple seasons when you had some of the antics, like when they all dressed up like security
shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Thank you. They all dressed up like mall cops and then pulled somebody over. I thought it was hilarious. Pretty funny. I enjoyed it back then. It started to get to the point to where it was pro wrestling with cars, and I just didn't really care about it anymore. I think now it has reached a point where it lost contact with me because I just don't enjoy watching.
Well, and that started happening. That started happening not with a lot of people, and that's when they started doing like track appearances, and people started getting to meet these guys and see that they were just regular. They really were just regular old people. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's kind of my deal with it is I've lost interest in Street Outlaws, but kind of like you were saying, every time something comes up from 187 Customs on YouTube, I'm watching it.
That's because their channel's hilarious.
Their channel is.
It's hilarious. Just fun to watch. It's watching them try to piece together the QA1 suspension and reading the directions one by one. That's us, guys. That's exactly what we would be doing. They don't try to play it off like they know exactly what everything is and this is how easy it is. And no, man, they struggle and look for tools and get mad just like the rest of us. I think it's hilarious. That is super relatable.
And I think that's what it is. I think the I'm looking for something relatable. I'm not looking for a $2.3 million race car going down the track.
Well, Sean even said on their show, I mean, it's a month ago, that the views that they have from like the MPK updates compared to the views of them playing in the garage, it's night and day difference. Nobody wants to watch him in MPK, but they want to watch him in the garage building stuff, you know, getting onto his son or whatever. That's the stuff they want to watch. That's the fun. That's the relatable fun stuff.
Well, hell, it's hard. We tried.
Yeah. That would have been cool. Better quit.
That would have been cool. So, Since there has been somewhat of a decline in Street Outlaws and I think somewhat of a decline in No Prep Kings, how long do you think it is before studios like Pilgrim start looking at Drag and Drive as a possible avenue for that?
I don't think MPK is on its way down yet.
MPK is in it to win it for a hot minute.
Yeah, I think they're going to be here for a while. But I would love to see you. I would love to see some Drag and Drive coverage. You know, that would be awesome.
Well, yeah.
I don't know how they would set that up though. Do you just choose some people and stick with them and follow them on their journey? How would you do that?
You treat it like HBO treats Hard Knocks, where they follow one NFL team as they're going into the season.
Yeah, that would be fun.
You kind of treat it like that. You choose like and three different racers.
And then do different racers every year?
Kind of like Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks is a different racer every year.
Every event. You probably – someone who is at – is it Guido? Is it Guido? Am I right? Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. It's Richard Guido, yes.
Okay. He would be one of the first people I think of to follow along, right?
To an extent.
I mean, the guy drives from Canada, dude.
For one of us, yeah.
But what I would see is them looking at someone who is more
eclectic.
Like who? Who would you go with? I'm not good with names. I can't remember his name, but cars. What car would you go with?
I don't know. I don't know how they would do that because it would be they gonna plan a whole deal. Are they gonna plan this whole deal around a guy and then you wanna see three cars? You're going to have to line up five cars. And so we're going to film these five cars because two of them are going to blow up.
See, what they would probably need to do, my first call would be to Mr. Michael Narks. Like, hey, man.
Additionally, yeah, go ahead.
I'd be like, hey, man, what three cars? We're going to do a show. What three cars are we going to follow this Drag and Drive season? Because he would be the one to tell you which ones to follow.
Yeah. So you think about it like that, and then it's okay, well, are those guys going to get paid?
I would think
probably
so.
Not. I mean, I don't know. Would they really want to be paid at that point?
Huh?
They'd probably have to give them something. Hey, what about Bernie?
What about Bernie?
Robert Barry and Bernie the truck. That'd be a good one to follow.
But so where my head's going, okay, so this, so as soon as you say, okay, now we're going to do this. the only reason to make a show on following Dragon Drive the same way you did Street Outlaws in the beginning or No Prep Kings now is for dinero, money. We're going to monetize this deal. Well, if they're doing that, they're going to be like, okay, Bo, this is what you're going to make this year. And so now we're just going to inject all this money into your program.
Yeah, I don't need him to do that. I just need to make a phone call to Holly to get my Terminator fixed. That would be cool.
I'm just
do that for me, man. I'll do whatever you want.
Part of the draw for the guys that do Dragon Drive is because you're around guys that are in the same circle, the same as what you are. Like our cars are eerily similar as far as how we put them together, how we do stuff. All the way from the like there's fast cars and then there's slow cars and they're all kind of in the same bucket and kind of all the same mindset. Inject money into a few of those into a few of those programs. They're not like the guys doing Dragon Drive stuff are people with jobs. Nobody's making a living doing that.
Ain't no scrubs doing Dragon Drive events. There's not.
Now hold
until
on.
They are.
Yeah.
Now hold on. That's kind of the direction I wanted to go with this. You don't think this would be something geared more towards, say, a Tom Bailey?
Yeah, go ahead. Do that.
Goldstone. I think there needs to be a super fast guy, middle of the road guy, and a slower-ish guy. If you're gonna follow three cars or lady, whoever it is. You know, you can't have them all in this. Well, maybe you do all have them in the same class, though.
I ain't gonna lie, dude. I ain't gonna lie. If they made that show, I would watch it.
Oh, I would.
I don't. But it's literally content that we crave for.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, some of this is be like, I don't know. Some of them. If they're, it would take very little time for it to be an unobtainium type of deal. Like,
listen, man, I'm to the point where I'm watching a grown man fly his RC airplane around. Okay. I don't even like that stuff, but I'm watching it because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I've moved on from silicone mixing videos and now I'm watching mowing videos. So I totally get it.
Very good. Proud of you.
Yeah, I just think that when you look at the first season of Street Outlaws, I think it leans more towards where Dragon Drive is now than anything else that's out there. And I think if you're looking for that magic formula, the one thing that pops in my head is how long is it going to take them until they start looking at Dragon Drive as a possibility?
Oh, I don't think it would take long at all. I think that could blow up and happen in the very near future.
With that being said, how long would it take for some of these other people to start doing Dragon Drives if there's going to be shows about it? You know what I mean?
See, that's the next step.
Yeah. Soon as they do that, now it's, I mean.
Then does it turn into an MPK type of deal?
Yeah.
With all these big names with their high dollar Dragon Drive cars, which, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be in my class.
See, no. you look at Tom Bailey, and Tom Bailey's looking at putting together an event that's actually going to pay out really well. And he's kind of hinted at it here and there. Does that become like NPK where Ryan Martin wins the first season and he comes back the second season with an even badder car? Like, as he wins, he gets more money. As he gets more money, he gets a better car. As he gets a better car, he keeps winning. Like, does it turn into a vicious cycle? Does Dragon Drive become too?
I think that's evolution. That's how things work.
Yeah.
You don't want to stay the same ever.
And I get that. I'm not talking about Ryan Martin.
Unless you're not him specifically, but I mean, even if you're a bracket car. I mean, if you're a Brad car, okay, I want to run a 12-0 every time. That's it. But if you run a 12-0 for 2 years in a row, next thing you know, you're like, I'm going to do something. Let's run 11-0s. You know what I mean? It's going to be something.
Yeah.
you're gonna make changes and evolve and want to. I mean, that's the whole deal with racing. You want to go faster. Nobody's ever satisfied being a brack. I mean, I say that there's plenty of people at Bragg Racing love it and enjoy it, and that's fine. It's still racing, but those are the realistic people that know they don't want to get into huge budget stuff and the car breaking all the time and high dollar parts. And Fro's looking at the time. He wants to get to these Facebook Marketplace deals.
He's ready to start
the editing process.
I've actually still got one more thing I want to cover.
All right, let's talk. We can talk about this junk for hours. I've never thought about the Dragon Drive like reality show though.
It's something that popped into my head today as I was thinking about the whole Ryan Martin thing, and I was thinking about when I first started watching Street Outlaws and what I liked about it.
Yeah, well, congratulations. And the
shenanigans were part of it.
You may have killed Dragon Drive fun for the rest of us by having shows made of it now.
Way to go.
I can be able to get into another one.
10 years ago, there was Drag Week, and some of us watched Drag Week. Like, if we could find the videos there, if we could figure out how to, like, we've come a long way with this technology, folks. This is a recording from three different states on the same screen. Blows your mind, right? But it's like, at some point, boom, now there's more Dragon Drives. There's Drag Week and Rocky Mountain Race Week. And now there's, what are we, like, in the 30s of Dragon Drive events? And not a damn one has any open spots right now that is open for registration.
Nope. And not a one of them lasts longer than a day.
10 minutes.
You know what I mean? Well, yeah. I wasn't 10 minutes more than likely, but that day. None of them last more than a day.
Yeah. Unpopular deals. Like, we're going to do one off in BFE. Boom. We just sold out.
That stands for Bigfoot Egypt, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where he's at, is in Egypt.
Yeah.
Just past there. So speaking of that, and speaking of kind of staying on that same subject, I've been listening to a lot of the Dorkomotive podcast with Brian Loans.
I was going to say, we're going to be called Cheeto Eaters. Go ahead. Sorry.
Cheeto Eaters?
We're going to be called Cheeto Eaters after this show if anybody watches, pays attention to anybody else.
Yeah.
Any other shows. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Dorkomotive. It's a good podcast.
It is. You can learn things.
I'm personally thrown off by the comments.
You wouldn't understand the Dorkomotive podcast.
You don't know what a Cheeto Eater is.
Yeah, you know, it's okay.
You got the orangest one of all, and you just still don't know.
Yeah. Sorry. Dorkomotive podcast. Really good. Okay. I learned all about U-boats.
Yeah.
Pretty good one.
Yeah. I listened to the show about the fastest streetcar shootout in Memphis.
Yep.
That's that's a really good Dorkomotive podcast. If
it is.
You're a dork and listen to all of them, like some of us, cool. But if you're not, go listen to that one if you're a car guy.
It's true. And I also listen to the latest Hot Rod podcast. Well, I say the latest. I listened to the Hot Rod podcast that had Jeff Smith on it. And Jeff Smith was the editor-in-chief of Hot Rod Magazine when the fastest streetcar shootout happened. So I've kind of been on a one-track thing. And then as I was looking through Facebook today, I found that they are having a fastest streetcar reunion.
That's awesome.
And they're going to try to bring all of those guys back together. They've already got some of those cars confirmed. And they are going to bring those guys together on August 10th to Tri-State Raceway in Earlville, Iowa. I want to go to this. I want to go to this badly. In 92, I was 15 years old, so I wasn't able to go to Memphis and see the fastest streetcar shootout.
You were also four. Yeah. You weren't going either way, no matter your age.
We'll get into how poor I was later.
Hey, the Pickers were walking. I don't know about you guys.
Most still over there walking to the parts store. Yeah. I guess spark plug.
John's using his belt to hold up drive shafts. It's cool.
Yeah.
So I have been, one of the things that they talked about on this was with the fastest streetcar shootout, those guys didn't have to do the 1,000 miles and 5 different tracks or 7 different tracks or 3 different tracks. Those guys did one track and they did like a 45 mile drive.
Yep.
Okay.
They're going to do basically the same thing. And they're bringing back a lot of those 90s cars that were pro street looking cars, big tire, back half cars, still had factory front ends, they were still cars. You could still drive them. They still look like cars. And listening to some of the interviews, they still had radios. They were still able to hear each other talk inside the car. So I want to go to this event, if for nothing else, just the nostalgia of the event.
I bet those cars are much different now. I bet you they look a lot the same from the outside, but I bet you they're a little bit different.
I'm kind of curious about that myself.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. That does sound like a really cool event to go to.
Oh yeah, it'd be awesome. Evolution guys, they're not going to leave him alone for that many years. Oh geez,
no.
Drop my mouse.
I don't know. I feel like some of those guys would just for posterity.
But they didn't know in 1991 that this was going to be a big deal.
No, they were just having fun.
How do we know that? In 1992, they didn't change to a strut front end and went right. All crazy.
Man,
maybe some of them didn't. I'm sure some of them didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. But that's another reason for me to want to go.
It'd be an awesome event to go to.
All right.
What you got for us?
Anything else we need to cover before getting into Marketplace?
Good job.
We had a really great Marketplace ad, and I really wanted to share it. And it was sent to me by John, I believe. But it does have the guy's face in it. And just judging by the way that guy looks, I wouldn't put it past him to drive to my house and punch me in the face for sharing that.
I don't think it has his face.
It does.
I do know that there's a listener that I talk to regularly
that says, blow that deal out.
Yeah, that says if you don't share the Marketplace that he sent us, he's going to be ticked. So,
what one are you talking about, Fro?
I don't know.
The exhaust.
Oh man,
trying to sell the custom.
Didn't think it had his face.
It does.
Really?
Look at that.
You gotta learn how to read this, bro.
Marketplace.
Learn.
All right, John, get out of your phone.
7350. Oh. Just joking.
This time I'm not going to make you guys guess.
1957 Pontiac Rare Hearse. Wagon driven 65,000 miles. Rare 1957 Pontiac Hearse. No drivetrain. Great solid body. Needs some floor work. Frame is good. Been inside for years. But before that, spent time outside. No seat.
Was it jacked up or not? Just say
seat that can go with it.
Hold on, does it have a coffee?
I have a title. I have a title. I don't have a title of this car, but I got a title.
I got a title.
So it was inside some.
It's got a coffee. It was
outside some. Yeah.
Sick. Pass. That's creepy.
Second ad with a no. Britt sent me a. Earlier this week, he sent me a coffin. I thought maybe I'd buy this deal.
Just a coffin? That's it?
Yeah.
Have casters on it?
Yeah, no, it was just a coffin.
Is there really a side market for used coffins?
Surely it's not a used coffin. I feel like...
I mean, I don't know if you guys sick, can do this.
Yeah.
But...
it's pending, too.
Somebody's getting ready to buy this deal. This slightly used casket is getting ready to be bought. Wooden casket.
slightly used, like well, false alarm.
Memory foam interior. Who in the hell needs memory foam interior in a casket? It ain't gonna have to remember nothing because once you lay down on it, you're there for the ever. Unless they pull you out and resell it, in which case, good job having memory foam.
So hold on, go forward again. Go to the other pictures. You know what freaks me out?
That casket's been laid in.
Is that that's been laid in? There, that sheet is messed up. That's messed up. I don't like that.
I'm in this thing. I don't think I'm in for the money, but I'm in.
No, I'm not in for any of it.
It's a hearse.
See, I led with these pictures.
Got a good look to it.
Because I knew as soon as I got to these pictures that Bo was going to be grossed out.
Nope, no like it.
Somebody's done something dirty in that casket.
What's on the towel or whatever that's in there?
Why is I don't so know. Gross?
That's why I said they done something dirty.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you better turn it before I say something messed up. Yeah, I don't like the
It's a Pontiac.
I like rare it. Hearse is what it says.
Pontiac rare hearse.
Yeah, no. Nope.
I'm trying to think what Pontiac looked like that in the like the front half looks like this Pontiac. I can't remember what it is. I think they're cool looking. I think that the way that
the roof
comes down. It's got the cool windshield, and then the hood is just kind of like kind of smacked out right there.
Yeah, the roof is too bulbous on this deal. I don't like it because of that.
Yeah, I know. If you could flatten out that roof, put a Sunoco hood on it,
get rid of the
big old tires in the back,
leave the casket in there.
We'll turn the casket into a trailer.
No.
Put all our tools into that and make it a little drag and drive rig.
You make that a trailer and carry it behind. I'd be more comfortable with that.
Yeah.
A coffin trailer.
Yeah. Ooh, 1979 Lincoln Continental.
I'm liking it already.
$15,000. 1979 Lincoln Continental Ford 400 bagged. Detroit D-Town smoothies. Edelbrock intake, Edelbrock carb, new AC compressor, new belts, new plugs, new wires, 3-inch stainless dual exhaust, Flowmasters, new radiator, new fuel tank, new brake master cylinder. It's a new car for $15,000.
Yeah,
I don't know why they don't sell this thing with an extended warranty.
Hold on.
Look at this.
Yeah. You know, that's my favorite part.
That's
the most comfortable seat on the planet.
That is. Those seats will suck you in. You just want to stay there forever.
Yeah. The only thing that I would probably change on this car would be the grill and the emblem on the front. The hood,
Did you get rid of the swan?
Yeah, I think so. I don't like grill.
Are you a Continental kit guy?
No, I don't like the Continental kit either.
I'm out on the Continental kit.
Get rid of that. That's what I would do. Continental kit gone.
Clean up that back end. I'm going to trade this air freshener out for a coconut tree.
I like the air freshener.
I like just the tree and a tropical flavor.
Hey, I feel like this is the kind of car that you'd see 62 of the trees. Yeah. You know what I mean? A bunch of
them. All you see right in this picture is the fuzzy dice. Got a pair of those guys.
I did not notice the fuzzy dice.
You not see him through the windshield right there?
I saw him that time, yeah.
Yeah. He took him out and replaced him with his dumb-looking air freshener.
I would drive this car.
I would, too. I would get rid of the Continental kit and the Swan hood ornament, and then I would drive the pants
off. And I don't like the grill. What kind of grill is it, bro? Is that a Bentley grill?
It's supposed to look like a Bentley.
Yeah. I don't like that.
I'm out on that.
All right.
Actually, that may be a factory grill in that picture.
That's not a factory grill right there. There's no way.
Yeah.
Think so?
Oh, yeah.
I guess it does fit everything else, doesn't it?
Is it the way the camera's shining, or has it got a little off-camber deal going on?
Probably a little off camber. It's probably laid out.
Yeah.
Negative camber. Oh, in the back.
I would love to have this car, and I would make it a static drop, and or maybe not much of a drop, because I'd have to have like at least a 24. Those wheels are so small on there. Something in the 24 persuasion, Ernie. And if that don't have 18s in the trunk, then what a loser. Morgan Wallen and some 18s back in that deal.
Does Jelly Roll own that car? Because I think he does.
1994 Toyota pickup, $5,500. That was a good deal in like 99.
It's a Toyota. It's still a
good Toyota deal. Baja truck, 22R engine, 5-speed transmission. Truck runs and drives. Got it on a trade and don't know much about it or the history. Does come with a parts truck as well, $6,500 or trade, located in Perrin, Arkansas. So when a guy says, got it on a trade, don't know much about it, what he means is, I know there's problems, but I'd rather not talk about it.
I traded for a truck I thought was going to be good. Turns out I can't handle this deal. I'm going to get rid of it.
Bingo. Yeah. Does come with a parts truck. You know what that means?
Oh, that's cool.
You're going to need some parts. You're going to take this deal too, because I don't want to have to haul it off.
This is a good start to my race truck is what this is.
This is Bo's race program.
Yep. I wanted one of these for a long time. Not necessarily a Toyota, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
It's worth $5,500. Does it say it runs? It's got 22RE. Those are good motors. Yeah. Don't make a lot of power, but I mean, stocky anyway. I'm sure you can do
something. Not exactly a torque monster.
Right. See, I would have to put 31s on there and get rid of whatever those are.
They are a little big, but it's also supposed to be a Baja truck.
Yeah. I want the tough truck style. So I need 31 1050s. And I feel like it's worth $5,500.
It looks like fun. It looks like fun.
It does look like a good time. It doesn't look like a good truck, but it looks like a good time.
Yeah. Make some changes. Put some King Quill overs on it.
Yeah.
That's where it's at. I don't know if that's still a thing to do or not, but I remember racing Devin's truck at King Quill overs. Amazing. Amazing.
Couldn't feel a thing.
No, you go through whoops, didn't even know they were there.
But I thought it'd be a fun little I thought that one would be fun to throw in there.
Yeah. I like it.
Well, John's already trying to leave, so I'd say we're probably near the end.
Oh, hold on, I gotta pick up my mouse. I'm about to run away.
Allergy season is upon us. John had to blow his nose.
That happens.
But anyway.
Do you guys got anything else to throw on here? I believe the car will be ready for cruise night.
It better be.
Mine will not.
Bo, I'll be at your house to pick you up.
Okay. You can help me tape off another monster truck body.
I will do that. We did have a lot of fun with that last weekend.
Yeah, it was a good time. I'll have more of it done this week, though. We have less work. I hope. We'll see.
I'll probably be packing.
Yeah. You're probably gonna be doing a lot of that. Your closing day's coming up quick.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I feel like we had a good
every weekend. Go she's like, "Oh, we need to pack and we need to organize and I pull the motor out of the car."
And you're like, look, I got a shift light. I got to go put this deal in.
2 weeks later, she's like, all right, we're going to get the motor back in the car. We're going to buckle down. We're going to pack and organize. And I pulled her in. Yeah. So she loves me or she wouldn't be here.
Right. She does.
See, I've got the wife looking over at me going, you need to spend some more time with the kids. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go help Bo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, there we go. Good night.
Everybody love everybody. Good night.